proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Welcome to the fire. Welcome to the fire.
Today on Church and State, Dan Wilson for Kootenai County Sheriff. Hello, Christian Patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. I'm your host, Caleb Collier, once again, your favorite far-right shock jock and the most schizophrenic show you listen to on a daily basis. Hey, everyone, head on over to churchandstate.media and share this show. Look, the sheriff, and we'll get into this in the episode, but the sheriff, the office of sheriff is probably one of the most important offices that can be held throughout the entire United States. So we'll get into that. You're going to want to share this because we want to elect good people to defend our Constitution, both at the federal and the state level. Take advantage of all of our fine affiliates. I'm not going to go into it. You know them. You love them. Make sure to use that promo code Church and State whenever you're using any of our affiliates. Also, please donate specifically to us. Just hit that donate button right on the page and you're good to go. And if you want to get a hold of us, Church and State 1776 at proton.me. All right, couple of quick events that I got to announce here. Number one, the Vax Unvax bus is in Spokane, April 19th. It's going to be at 12929 East Sprague Avenue. Starts at 8 a.m. Speakers will start at 4. Remember, there's going to be a number of testimonies that are given from people who've been injured from the vaccine, and not just the COVID vaccine, vaccines all the way around. There's a number of people who've been injured by these, and we want to share those testimonies. And then the speakers start at 4, it'll go till 6 p.m. So please go over to the Children's Health Defense, the Washington chapter, and make sure that you put that on your calendar. Also, remember, we are bringing General Flynn. That's right, General Flynn is coming to Spokane. This is going to be April 25th. That's a Thursday. Meet and greet at about 5 p.m. And then the movie starts at 6:30. You can just go to flynnmovie.com to get your tickets. And remember, if you screenshot those tickets and send it over to Church and State 1776 at proton.me, then you can be entered into a drawing where you will win a free book signed by General Flynn and a chance to meet the general. So make sure to get on that as well. Also, remember, we're starting our church, Apologia Chapel. That's right. You can actually come to a church building and on certain Sundays hear me. That's right. Yours truly. I might be, I am going to be teaching. So it's going to be Apologia Chapel, 3506 West Princeton. And we are starting on the 28th of this month. All right. With that, let's go ahead and bring on our guest. I'm very, very happy and proud to know Dan Wilson. This is an individual that understands the principles of liberty, our Constitution, morality as a whole, and the position of being the sheriff and protecting against government overreach. You see, we pledged, right? Those of us who took the oath, I've taken it a number of times in my life, we pledge an oath against enemies of the Constitution, both foreign and domestic. And there's a lot of domestic enemies out there. And so we need an individual such as Dan who will protect your individual liberty. So with that intro, Dan, thank you so much for joining us on Church and State.
Caleb, thank you so much for having me. I'm really pleased to be here talking with you about liberty.
Amen to that. I mean, that's a great subject, right? You know, the masses are talking about, you know, baseball or something, or maybe the Kardashians. You and I want to talk about liberty because that's a great topic.
Yeah, absolutely. I always choose dangerous liberty over a certain security. And that's the message that I try to continually promote to everybody who will listen.
Wow. I love it. We are the same breed, my friend. So the first question is always the easy question, but why are you running? You know, that you've obviously seen something in Kootenai County that you thought I can make a difference or I can do this better. So what brought you to this point?
I'll give the real brief version. I looked and saw the attempted end run around the Constitution back in 2020 and knew that they were not going to stop. And they will try it again. It's just a matter of time. I did not see Kootenai County being prepared by the sheriff in order to meet the next threat that's on the horizon. And so that is as really in a nutshell the impetus as to why I wanted to run. The current sheriff, I've observed him numerous times. I've listened to him and his policies. And frankly, I'm concerned if the sheriff, who is supposed to be the first and last line of defense for the people, has an individual like that. I don't have a confidence in the world that this individual would stand up against an out of control federal or state government to protect the people against tyranny. So after 18 months, when I didn't see any other viable candidates come to the forefront, I put in my own money to fund the beginning of the campaign, and here I am.
Well, I love it. That's exactly what we need. We talk about oftentimes on this show about interposition, the importance of that, the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, who the author is a friend of ours. We've had him on the show a number of times. But for the audience, let's just do a refresher on this. You know, we have the federal government, we have the state government, and then we have the local government. And it's I use this all the time when I speak, and I usually bring people on stage. But if you can imagine this in your mind, it's three individuals with a sword and a shield, and they're all turned outward to address attacks from, you know, foreign nations. But if one of those individuals ever turns upon the individuals that have been elected at the state or local level to protect our liberty, well, then it's their job to fight off the federal government. Unfortunately, with the purse strings of the federal government, so oftentimes we see the state, if the federal government turns against us, the state's going to turn against us as well. And this is why it's so important to elect a sheriff such as yourself who understands that and will fight against any attack, any tyrannical attack against our liberty.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, you were just talking about the separation of powers, and people often think that that's just laterally, you know, between the three branches. But in reality, Hamilton said it best in Federalist 85 when he described it more or less vertically, which is, we can rest assured in the disposition of the state legislators to erect a barrier against a federal government. And basically what that or national government is what Hamilton's words were, but we now call it the federal government. Understanding that the federal government is no more sovereign or powerful than the county, and we are accountable to each other, but not to be ruled by either or. And you are right. In the state of Idaho, where I'm running, many things that could help the people secure their rights to life, liberty, and property are being squelched due to the fact that, in my belief, we get over 40% of our state budget from the federal government. Therein lies the reason why we can't do more proactive things to secure the people's rights.
I completely agree with you. It's hard to bite the hand that feeds you. It's interesting because one of the things I say all the time on the show is great oppression breeds great opportunity. And with the Biden administration, and they have gone so far left, they don't understand the Constitution. They don't want to defend the Constitution. And now we are starting to see states that are opposing them, you know, Texas with their border. But there are a lot of other states that are doing so as well. And my hope is that the states will wake up, but I'm not going to just rest on that, right? I want to make sure that at the local level, where we're the most effective, where we can band together and push back with strength in numbers, that we've got the right people leading us at that local level. And I believe you're one of them, sir.
Well, I hope that I am. I look towards those that went before me, those men of courage and women, and that set the precedence for us. And it's our duty, because they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, that when it comes to us locally, I can't affect anything that happens in Washington, D.C. I can affect nothing at the state level, but I can do my part right here at the source of government. And I would say the source of all government always starts at the local level. And we've forgotten that because we've become enamored with the federal government, which was never meant to be as intrusive and all seeing as it is now.
Yeah, we're living in a brave new 1984, as I often refer to it as. Tell me a little bit more about yourself. I think the audience would be interested. I know you're married, but what's your history? What jobs have you held that will, you know, ensure that you're a great sheriff for the residents of Kootenai County?
I grew up in the Inland Northwest. I lived for most of my life. I was a fourth generation Spokane Valley kid. I lived on the original Antone Plant homestead out in the Spokane Valley. He was the first settler to the Spokane Valley, or Spokane area rather, previous to the Civil War. 1984, my mom and dad took me out of private school and decided to start homeschooling me. So in Washington State, homeschooling was just barely legal, and I was one of the first generation homeschool kids. I completed high school in 93, so I went basically my entire school years to homeschool, and it afforded me a lot of great opportunities. And, you know, in those beginning years, if you're a homeschool kid, you were considered to be weird. You're ostracized. You had to learn how to have thick skin and stand alone. And now we see a complete reversal of that today. But back in those days, it wasn't something that people really celebrated a lot. But it was a great experience for me. One of the things that it afforded me was the opportunity to really study the history of our country and to dive in a lot deeper than what you would at a conventional school when it comes to all the way from the Mayflower Compact to the Declaration and beyond. So from a very young age, I had a love for all things American history related. And I would get on my bicycle, and before I could drive, and I'd ride down to this bookstore. I think it was the, I think it was like a John Birch bookstore, if I remember correctly now, the New American Bookstore, something like that. And I would ride my bike down there, and I'd get books on Washington and Lincoln, and I would read these books and really become engrossed with these men who, look, men are flawed. David was flawed. Men in the Bible were flawed, but they still had great character and things that we could learn, that I could learn. So fast forward, when I turned 16, I had graduated from school and then started a construction apprenticeship. Well, that took me several years later into owning my own commercial construction companies. And in 2011, when my businesses were doing really well and I did not have to be there every single day, I decided to go back and pursue a career in law enforcement, which I had wanted to do my entire life, but never really had the right time and opportunity. And I was accepted into the Spokane Police Department's Reserve Officer Academy and graduated, was on the streets with them as a reserve patrol officer for 4 years, and then was recruited out to the city of Liberty Lake, where I finished my last 8 years, retiring in March of 2023. So that's kind of in a nutshell. I still have my construction companies. They're going 25 years strong now. And so I have a pretty extensive background in construction and business and management, negotiating contracts for both federal and state and private industries. And then I also have this 12 years of service to my community as a patrol officer. So I believe that a lot of these experiences that I have had lend myself to the ability to lead the people of Kootenai County and the office of the sheriff for this time and place in history where it so desperately needed men and women who understand liberty and will not compromise.
Yeah, I think that's essential. Everybody's going to look for that law enforcement experience, right? If you're running for sheriff, you gotta have that. You know, every once in a while there emerges somebody that maybe doesn't, and they're a great sheriff, but I think you need to understand the job to a degree, at least. You know, getting out, you know, on the street, understanding what officers are dealing with, because there's such a movement right now, and it's not just the left. We do blame the left a lot, right? And there's this anti-police feeling and ban them and, you know, all this stuff. But even on the some of the libertarian side of things, you know, they don't like the police officers. Well, if you have a sheriff who understands liberty, who loves the Constitution, well, most of those fears that you have over this authoritarian big brother police state, they disappear, because these are individuals who understand that oath. They're never going to just stomp on you. They're never going to give the excuse of, I was just following orders. No, they're going to weigh every single one of those orders and say, is this a moral order or an immoral order? I'm not going to follow it if it's against the Constitution, if it's against basic human rights.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. We oftentimes forget that law enforcement, and we forget this as law enforcement officers, that it is a calling, not a career. And it's a calling no different than if you're called into the ministry or into teaching or some of these other noble things that public servants do. You are there to protect, as a peace officer, people's rights to life, liberty, and property. And when our founders first brought together this idea of our government, of course, we had government prior to that, but when we think about the American government, it was a band of people with the same ideology and backgrounds that said, hey, we need to get together. There's strength in numbers, and we recognize the laws of nature and nature's God, those things that God gives that no man can take away. And so that's really the basic form of government, was law enforcement to the most, condensed version of government. It's to secure people's rights. People have to have the rights to their lives and to their liberty and to own property. So when government and through the legislature started enacting laws that were no more just to protect people's rights to life, liberty, and property, and started penalizing people, that's where you started seeing a major shift in the way law enforcement did its work. And I think that too often we have deputies and police officers that have no fundamental understanding of the Constitution, and more importantly, the history of this country as to why we are as Americans, who we are. And it's easier when you are training deputies and police officers in an academy to teach them case law about the First Amendment, about the Second Amendment, about the Fourth Amendment. But if they don't truly understand the history and the reason as to why they had to make the amendments before they would ratify the Constitution, to understand that we have to have these rights secured. These aren't rights that the government is granting us. These are rights that we have identified that the government must secure for us. So I do believe that what you're saying is absolutely spot on. And we need constitutionally minded and ingrained individuals protecting us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love the Bill of Rights. I'm a huge Bill of Rights guy. I oftentimes, give the comparison. It's like the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And it's all directed at the state. These are rights that God gave us. You didn't give us any rights, government. You are there to secure our rights. And Dan, I don't know if you know this, but I was an EMT for a number of years. I don't want to live in a city or a state where the police have been handcuffed, where they've been banned outright. Because I've been on so many scenes where I felt unsafe. I'm just there trying to render medical aid. But there's an individual who's hostile, maybe armed. No, I want the police there with me so that I can do my job. And even for these elitists, I don't want to offend anybody, but you live up in your mansion or something and everything's secure. You got your gate, but somebody robs you. What's the first thing you want? You want the police there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's easier, like you were talking about, for the elites to enact and support laws that restrict the ability for law enforcement to, I keep saying this over and over again, you're hearing the theme, protect people's life, liberty, and property, right? And it's easy when you are in your mansions where things can't affect you, but down at the street level, I mean, I was with Spokane City for 4 years. And the level of evilness that is on the streets that many people just don't experience. It's not that it's not there. They're just not experiencing and seeing what is all around them. And you need individuals that are very, very good at hunting evil men that wish to do great harm. And sometimes these officers, these peace officers, aren't necessarily the ones that you want in front of a camera. They don't necessarily have the greatest bedside manner, so to speak. They still must be courteous and professional, but law enforcement at times can be a dirty occupation because what kind of individuals do you have to get in order to be really good at hunting evil men and to be able to extrapolate information from these individuals to fight crime as it goes up, the chain.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's the wolf sheepdog analogy, right? That's what it is right here. And people have to remember the sheepdog is just as dangerous as the wolf, but the sheepdog doesn't attack the sheep. That's the difference right there. And so we need that sheepdog mentality with our law enforcement officers.
Yeah. But again, I come back to, and this is a discussion that I have probably more often than not with the citizens here in Coonie County. Look, your culture in your sheriff's office is everything. And I know it's cliche. Every sheriff comes in and they're going to enact their form of leadership, so on and so forth. But it really is true. If you have a sheriff that does not fully have buy-in to the integrity of the office of securing the people's rights, do not expect your deputies below you to also act the same. If you don't set that precedent from the top and have people inside the organization that are mentoring these men and women, that are reminding them of their calling, reminding them of their greater cause, you're going to get what oftentimes we're now seeing, which is over abuse of power by law enforcement or discourteousness. I don't like seeing, I was a patrolman. I understand how, and you were in the Marines. You understand what it's like to be tactically minded. But you have to do that in a professional environment. You have to be that much better than your adversary so that you can be cool, calm, relaxed, dealing with the public, serving them, but also be extremely deadly when that time comes.
It's so true. I've actually had to explain myself a few times when I've been in conversations with people, because they're like, your eyes are always shifting. Yeah. I'm always scanning the room. You know, I have that mentality. I'm always looking. Is that a threat? No. Okay. We're good. I'm not being rude. It's just, that was instilled in me and it's never going to go away. All right. So we always maintain that ability to strike in case somebody acts out. We're not looking for the fight. And I think people need to understand that if you're in law enforcement, military, you're not looking for the fight. You know, I conceal carry. It's not because I want to go shoot somebody. It's because I want to be able to protect people. And that's the mentality that I've seen over and over again in people who've served the country in the military or those who serve their counties or their cities as police officers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it goes back to a saying, it's not what you preach, it's what you tolerate. And I truly believe that. So when it comes to the men and women of Coonie County Sheriff's Office that we're going to be enacting is we're going to be leading from the top. We're going to be evaluating deputies from top to bottom. We're going to be adjusting attitudes where we need to by mentoring, showing the way and getting the buy-in. We're not going to do it by, you know, brute force, but I believe that when you have great arguments and show, most men and women that are in law enforcement are there because they were called. You were in the Corps because you were called. And that's just the way I think God, you know, sets apart men and women for different jobs and duties. But, you know, if you get the proper mentorship to remind you of this calling, it goes a long ways. And we can train all day long on, you know, the two basic Supreme Court rulings that give law enforcement all its horsepower, the objective reasonableness standard, or, you know, the fleeing felon Tennessee versus Garner. That's all great, but it's kind of like being a street evangelist. If you only know three verses, how well can you really articulate and evangelize just off those three verses? If you don't really understand the Bible in its entirety, you can't do as an effective job. And that's really what we have to keep driving our law enforcement professionals back towards, is life, liberty, property, as it was defined by the founders.
Amen. Dan, I've so been enjoying the conversation. I've actually done you a little bit of a disservice because we're coming up towards the end of the show. But I wanted to make sure that I talked to you about kind of your top priorities. What do you want to change? What are some issues specific to Coonie County that you'd like to address?
Yeah. Number one is I'm going to form a citizens posse, a vetted posse members to come in and help augment deputies in all sorts of crises, whether it's man-made or natural disasters. The other thing is I'm going to start a robust reserve deputy program. I don't want to be raising tax dollars for the people of Coonie County. Coonie County has become cop land. There's more than enough individuals that have spent a career in law enforcement that I believe would be more than willing to come and assist patrol with their expertise, and we don't have to retrain these guys. They're not coming out of an academy. And also, I'm going to call for an audit of the sheriff's office from top to bottom, and not just any audit, a forensic audit. We want to be able to truly understand where the dollars are going and whether or not we need to be cutting things, or you know, before we go back to the taxpayers like the current administration wants to do, we need to make certain we're being judicious with the funds that we have been given. And lastly, we're going to hit heavy human trafficking, which is majorly being not sought after in this county by the federal, state, or local, as far as I'm concerned. And we're going to root that behavior and illegal invasions out of our county. And that's the reality of what I'm running on, and kind of the horsepower behind it all.
That is so good. Number one, you're right. Kootenai County, Coeur d'Alene, you know, there's so many cops from all across the nation that have moved to this area. They love it up here. And so using them, because they have that service mentality. I agree with you. They'd love to come in and do some patrols and use the skills that they've developed over years. Number two on that, I love the fact that you want to audit, you know, because working in government, you know, still working in politics, most government officials, they won't say something like that, right? There's no way. I don't want to audit. I don't want to potentially take away some of my income. But somebody like that, you truly have a servant's heart. You want to protect the taxpayer and the money that, under the Biden administration, we don't have so much of that anymore.
We do not.
And then last but not least, that human trafficking, that equal protection under the law, my technician's circling this right now, equal protection under the law, that's an important one. But the human trafficking is such an issue. And we put such an emphasis as a nation upon the southern border. Hey, guys, we got a northern one right here. And there's a lot coming across that border as well.
Yeah, and I think you know Mark Lamb from Pinal County, Arizona, and Cade and Donna, my wife and I, in January went down to the unsecured Arizona border. We found that NGO camp that James O'Keefe eventually went into, run by No Mas Muertes, No More Deaths. I've seen firsthand hundreds of military-age males from Africa and the Middle East that are unaccompanied, being run by the cartels up into this country. And along with that illegal activity comes human trafficking, and obviously the trafficking of drugs like fentanyl. So, yeah, if we can't stave this off and make Kootenai County a hardened county, we're not going to last very long.
No, you're absolutely right. All right. Well, we've come to the end of the show. I wanted to make sure everybody goes to theidahosheriff.com. You can check out his priorities, endorsements. You can donate. But Dan, it has been an absolute pleasure having you here on Church of State.
Caleb, the pleasure was all mine. I greatly appreciate your interest and for giving me a platform for a conversation. And I'm looking forward to getting to know you a lot better.
Absolutely, sir. And please stay on after the end of the show. I got a few more questions I'd like to talk to you about.
Sounds good. Take care.
You as well, sir. Church and State is sponsored in part by Patriot Church. I'm Caleb Collier. I was born for a storm.
Welcome to the fire.
The doctor that I recommend for all of your needs is the Underground Clinic doctor, Dr. Troy Spurl.
Because Dr. Troy is the best doctor, bar none.
You know, this is the great thing about officialsignups.com is it's in all 50 states. You don't have to be in Michigan or Minnesota. You can be in Hawaii, you can be in Florida, and you can find a doctor that you can trust. If you are still wearing a mask, if you have rolled up your sleeve and gotten all the jabs and all the boosters, then Official Signups is not for you. You want to go find one of those big pharma doctors that'll give you all the prescriptions you want, and you can live a very sickly life.
Well, if you're looking for a doctor for yourself, or maybe a doctor for your family, or a doctor who's not going to push vaccines on you, you want to go to officialsignups.com. You for sure need to mention Church and State when you go to officialsignups.com to take part in all the savings, all the great deals for you and your family.
With the rise of the BRICS nations, you've got a lot of nations that are gathering together, and they're all doing a gold-backed currency. The United States is not, and the petrodollar is starting to fail. And my suggestion to all of you would be to get behind gold and silver, because that is the currency currency that is always going to have value.
I might not be a gold or silver guru, but I want to have something tangible in my hands at the end of the day. So I would definitely recommend every one of you go to bh-pm.com.
All you got to do is look around and see that the price of everything is increasing. Gold and silver is on the rise. It's being artificially suppressed. You want to schedule a consultation right now so that your families don't end up in the breadline and you're saying, please, sir, can I have some more?
Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? 4 years from now, prices are going to be absolutely astronomical. Go to bh-pm.com. Get a consultation now. You definitely want to mention Church and State. It will get you the best prices. It will get you the best consultation advice. Use Church and State when you go to bh-pm.com.
MyPillow.com has got more than just pillows. You've got your slippers, your bathrobes. You have towels that actually dry you off, not the kind you buy at Walmart where it's just kind of a slick mess. They have got some of the best products out there. The sheets are absolutely incredible. I think it's 1,000 count. It's the best products you can buy. And the pillows even have silencer technology in it. And so if you need a day where you're just going to scream into your pillow, don't worry, your neighbors won't hear you.
Why would you want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond? First of all, they're out of business. You want to go support an American-made product, go to MyPillow.com. And then you're also supporting one of the nation's most, I would say, Jesus-filled, and a company that is completely, completely built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're getting a two-for-one there. You know you've wanted a good night's sleep for years. You're tossing, you're turning. Just go now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code CHURCHANDSTATE.
CHURCHANDSTATE. That's Church and State.
You do not want to eat synthetic meat. If you can grow a meat in a lab, if you want to go ahead and have Soylent Green on the table, feel free to eat this garbage that Target's trying to throw out. But if you want actual meat that's been freeze-dried, it's been processed by actual human beings, go to griddownchowdown.com.
Look, the World Economic Forum has declared a war on red meat. They hate the cows. They hate the cow farts. There is supply chain issues. And for me, you can pry my steak from my cold, dead hands.
If you want a meat that's going to last freeze-dried 10 years or more, this is the product you want.
I want all of you to go to griddownchowdown.com. Use the promo code CHURCHANDSTATE. These are fantastic freeze-dried raw beef. The blood is still in it. You just rehydrate it and add it to your favorite meal, and you are ready to go. And remember, the Holy Word of God tells us, for one person has faith to eat all things, while another who is weak eats only vegetables. That's Romans 14, 2.
This was sacred to God.
Now is the time to act.
This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Everybody, it's an honor to be with you.